man will be the anointed sheep. We're looking for the anointed sheep today. Amen. The anointed sheep. Yes, walking with God. The title of this series is Walking with God. Amen. And this whole series is God. Amen. There's no way we could bring these messages if God wasn't leading us through this series. Now, before we do anything else, I want us to thank God. If we don't take another breath in our life today, let's thank God for his mercy and his grace. His mercy and his grace. Because I found myself through prayer, as praying to God, thanking him for his mercy and his grace, as a routine. I found myself praying and thanking him for mercy and grace just as a routine. And he stopped me. He stopped me and he took me back to the Old Testament, God. Mercy and grace, the Old Testament. And he showed me that how it could be, how good we got it now. Old Testament, you sinned against God, somebody had to die. You disobeyed God, that was death. Something died, even the sacrifice of the animals. Something died. What if that was today? What if that was us today? But see, he loved us so much. That could have been us, but he loved us so much. He loved you so much. Jesus. Jesus is love. The love of God is Jesus, our Savior. His mercy and his grace is love. That's the only reason we have it, because he loved us so much. He gave us his mercy and his grace. But see, we have it so good that there's no fear of God no more. No fear of God. We do anything we want. Anything. Because we know that we have Jesus. We take that mercy and grace for granted. And we continue to say we're walking with God, but we intentionally step outside of God because we know that mercy and grace is right there. It's going to save us. Why we do it? We blame it on this flesh. We blame it on the flesh, but the flesh, sometimes we got to stand in it. We got to man up. He called us to be who we are in him. So if he called us to do that, we can do it. There's no excuses. Why not? But the topic is Psalms 23, second verse of Psalms 23, titled, You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. And the title that, once again, that's going to spring from that is The Anointed Sheep. The Anointed Sheep, and that's what we're searching for today, that anointed sheep today. And speaking of anointed sheep, we get up here and we speak, but Pastor Ned gets up here. I sit back there and I look up here and I say, wow, God. God's presence is all over, all over. That's all you can say is, wow, God. Wow. You see God's presence, that anointing. How often do you think of yourself in that way? We don't never think of ourselves like that. Can we be like that? Can we be like that? Now I want to present you the story of the anointed sheep, the true story of the four-legged anointed sheep from this book, from The Shepherd's Look at Psalms 23 by Philip Keller. This is the book that we're going through during this service, during this series, and this is how the shepherd anoints his sheep to take care of them, to protect them. And I'm going to read from that. Remember, this is sheep and the shepherd. Sheep are especially troubled by the nose fly. The nose fly, as it's sometimes called, these little flies buzz around the sheep's head, attempting to deposit their eggs on a damp mucous membrane on the sheep's nose. If they are successful, the eggs will hatch in a few days to form small, slender, worm-like larva. They will work their way up to the nasal passage into the sheep's head. They burrow into the flesh and set up an intense irritation by severe inflammation in their nose. For relief from this agonizing annoyance, sheep will deliberately beat their heads against trees, rocks, or brush. In extreme cases, intense infestation, a sheep may even kill itself in a frenzy endeavor to avoid the aggravation of those flies around his head. Kill itself. Because of all this, when the nose flies hover around the flock, some of the sheep become frantic with fear and panic. That sounds familiar. In their attempt to escape their tormentors, they will stomp their feet erratically and race from place to place in the pasture, trying desperately to elude the flies. Some may run as much and drop from sheer exhaustion. Others may toss their heads up and down for hours trying to get away from that irritation, the irritation. Only the strictest attention to the behavior of the sheep by the shepherd can forestall the difficulties of fly time. At the very first sign of the flies among the flock, the shepherd will apply antidote to their heads. Preferred use, a homemade remedy composed of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar, which is smeared over the sheep's nose and head as a protection against the flies, which is an incredible transformation this would make among the sheep. True story. Once the oil had been applied to the sheep's head, there was an immediate change in behavior. Gone was the aggravation. Gone was the frenzy. Gone was the irritable and restlessness. Instead, the sheep would start to feed quietly again and soon lay down in peaceful contentment. And that's the story of the anointing of the worldly sheep, the four-legged sheep. Don't that sound kind of familiar? They're irritated by the things that surround them. They're looking for shelter. And only one to give them protection and shelter is their shepherd. It's their shepherd. And who is our shepherd? Wow. Do he protect us? Wow. He has a way of protecting us. He has a way of protecting us. Y'all remember John 10:16. John 10:16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Two sheep, one fold. Two sheep, one fold. Other side of the fence, sheep in Christ. Other side of the fence, sheep, friends with the world. Friends of the world in Christ's sheep. Last week, Drayson brought the message. We're seated at the table. He prepared a table before us. See, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. That sheep on the other side of the fence is looked at as an enemy of God. Satan. But see, we're sitting at the table where he prepared that table for us on the other side, but the enemy will not come because he has no power on that side of the fence. No power. He's afraid. But we're over here safe in Christ. The enemy's over here. He has no power over us. None. No power. No power. The enemy has no power. But that gate is open. Remember, that gate is always open on both sides. on both sides. Somehow, we forget who we are. We lose focus. We lose sight. We tend to walk towards that fence. Satan's smart. He's slick. He's whispering the whole time. Whispering the whole time. And we'll do anything for attention sometimes. So he's whispering, showing attention. And here we are. Here we are. We took our eye off of God. We took our eye off of God, and now he has his hooks in us. We're stuck in that place where he has us. Can't get out right now. You took your eye off of God. But when you keep your eye on God, you can see the enemy coming a mile away. A mile away. How many times have we been home in the house and God says, Holy Spirit goes to the door, go to the window. Go to the door, go to the window. You look outside, what you see? Someone walking. Walking up to your street, up to your house. Someone you never seen before. Maybe ready to kill, steal, and destroy. But your eyes on God, and he made you aware. He made you aware of it. So thank you, God. Thank you, God. But we're looking for the anointed sheep today. Miss Rivers, mother-in-law, can you please come up here, please? We're looking for the anointed sheep. Just stand right here. How you doing? Now, we was witnesses to her baptism right here. Witnesses to her baptism right here. Born again Christian. Born again Christian. Gave her life to Christ. This is an outward example of that. Born again Christian. I just want you to stand right here while we go through these scriptures. John 14:26 says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in his name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. He's speaking. Therefore, Corinthians 2:5-17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Born again Christian. The new is here. 1 John 2:27. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in it. The anointing. Who are the anointed sheep? Born again Christians are the anointed sheep. So if you are born again Christian, God has anointed you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Born again Christians. I don't hear that word a lot, describing God's people, Christian. I don't hear it a lot. I hear believers a lot. I don't hear, I'm a Christian. I'm like, raise my hand, I'm a Christian. I don't hear that a lot. There's a lot of responsibility with that word Christian. You ask somebody, say, oh, yeah, I'm a believer. How many believers we have that don't follow God, don't follow Jesus, you know? But Christians, it's responsibility to that name. You go somewhere and tell someone you're a Christian, guess what? They're going to look for you to walk this earth like Jesus did. That's what we should be doing, right? Let's not run from that word, Christian. That's who we are, born again Christians. God has anointed us with the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. He has anointed us with the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. We just sung a song praising the Holy Spirit. That if you're born again, that Spirit lives in you. In you, as you sit there and sing that song. That power. That power. Why would God put his Spirit in us? Why? In simple old us, why would he put his Spirit in us? Why? Think to yourself, why? Few reasons why he wouldn't. It's for us to come in here for 2 hours and praise and pray to him about selfish reasons and leave out, step foot back out the door into the world and become of the world. He wants us to be set apart from the world, to be an example of him to the world. Our light's supposed to shine like no other. No other. Your light that you have in you, that he's giving you. Let it shine. Let it shine. Activate that light, man. Activate it. Let it shine. We sit around like there's nothing in us sometimes. That's not who he called us to be. We're more than that. His Spirit lives in us. His Spirit lives in you. Let's do something with it. Let's do something with it. Mark 16:15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The gospel. God commands the gospel. You have the power in you through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know the gospel. He commands us to go outside these doors and share his gospel. Share the gospel of Christ to everyone outside these doors. Are we doing that? Are we doing that? We need. If we're not, I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I must do better. Must do better. He's called us to do so. We fellowship together, but are we taking it outside those doors? Let's take it outside those doors. And when we bring it back in, guess what? Man, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be even bigger. That's his plan for the world. That's his plan. Anointing occurs for a purpose. Anointing occurs for a purpose. See, as I sit here and talk, and I just told everyone that you are, if you're born again Christian, you have that anointing in you. And I guarantee you still some doubts. Still some doubts. How can I? There's no way I'm anointed. I can tell by the silence that you don't believe in yourself sometimes. Believe it. He said it. Believe it. Anointing occurs for proclaiming. Proclaiming God's word. See, he taught me to believe who I am in him, to understand. And you see me up here proclaiming God's word through his anointing of the Holy Spirit. The only way it's possible for me to be right here proclaiming his word today to y'all. Anointing occurs for worship. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no worship. You couldn't worship him. You couldn't worship him. For sacrifice, which we run from, but it takes sacrifice. It takes sacrifice in everything that God wants us to do. Know that. Don't be afraid of the sacrifice, because it takes sacrifice. You will be rewarded for that sacrifice. Ruling. Anointing, the Old Testament rulers, anointed. And one familiar is healing. Healing. We see that on a daily basis. And then we have to make something ready for holy use. Anointing occurs to make something ready for holy use. If we are anointed and God said, be holy, can we be holy? Can you be holy? If God said be holy, can we be holy? All right. All right. Well, let's get on that path to be holy. Let's be on that path to be holy, whatever it takes. Yes, we're going to fall short and all of that, but we on that path. That's what he wants. We all fall short of the glory of God. But if his falling short is at 85%, we stop at 85, let's get to the 85. Let's get to the 85 to make holy. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is the presence of God in you. The presence of God in you. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. You have God in you. God is in you. Born again Christian, God is in you. Who don't want to get saved and born again if the presence of God is going to be in them? Only a fool. Only a fool. Only a fool. The presence of God lives in us. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it, man? Wow. It is the power of God. The power of God in us. The power. The power. Do you know what the power of God is? If you know anything about God and his power, you would be amazed to know that the power lives in you. Know this. Understand it. Walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in it. Man, listen to this. Matthew 3:16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was open. Heaven was open. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. That's Jesus. That is Jesus, the one we praise and worship every day, our Savior. That is Jesus. Listen to this again. As soon as Jesus was baptized, just like we was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was open. And he saw the Spirit of God, which is in us, descending like a dove and alighting on him. The Spirit of God came upon Jesus, the same Spirit that's in us, in you, the same exact Spirit, because he said so. He's not a lie. Believe it. Believe who you are. Understand who you are and who he has called us to be. Believe it. Man, God's word is so good. Luke 4:18. This is Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. The Spirit of the Lord is on him. The power, you see the power of that Spirit to proclaim freedom, to proclaim that you don't have to be a slave to bondage, whatever is holding you back, you have the power to overcome it. But we steady walk in it like we can't help it. But we have the power in us that teaches us all things about this life here on earth. And we walk like we blind when he's blessed us so much because he loves us so much. Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. You. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Yeah, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for your loving, kindness, Spirit. At this point, what else? What else do we need? At this point, reading through those scriptures, what else do we need? Wow. What else do we need? The anointing of the Holy Spirit will destroy anything that's not of God. Do you believe that? Depression, enemy of God, gone. You have the power. You have the power over it. You have the power. You have a Spirit living in you. You have this power over depression. You have it. Know who you are. Know who he called you to be. You have that power. You have it. He told you so. You have it. Addiction. That power to overcome it. To overcome it. And I raised my hand. I thought I was addicted to drinking, to alcohol coming up. And I thought I could overcome it myself. I thought, okay, this is nothing. Nothing. Only thing I gotta do is stop. Stop. I tried it. And wow, did I get a slap in the face? He humbled me that low because I couldn't stop. I get off from work, I'm going straight home. Somehow that car turns right into the red dot store. I mean, that's how it was. I had no control. No control over it. None. None. Until I found out that I couldn't do it by myself. And he told me, I placed my Spirit in you so you can overcome these things of the world. So now that's what it's all about. Clean it up. You have the power. Clean it up. There's no sense in walking in it. Walking with your head down because you're sad, lost, lonely, depressed. No, 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 no. If you're a born again Christian, stand upright. Let your light shine to everybody. No. Man. Again, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will destroy anything that's not of God. And number one, that's not of God is who? Satan himself, your enemy. Satan himself, who people in your life that he sends your way to aggravate you, to bother you, just like the nose fly to the worldly sheep, to aggravate you, to bother you. But he has the Holy Spirit living in you for your force field over those things. But you let him in. Why? Why feed into it? You get out your bubble and say, come on, Satan, bother me. Bother me. That's what we do. You have a force field around you. Let it bounce off of you. Let them aggravating people at work bounce off of you. The people that want to tell stories on you, let it bounce off of you. Don't concern yourself with that. Don't concern yourself with that. Satan attacks you. Satan has no power. Remember, we are sitting at the table. Satan is not coming to this table. He is not. You got to go where he is. So that choice is yours. To go where Satan is, that choice is yours. We're at the table where we're supposed to be in Christ. Don't go over there messing with Satan. Don't let him influence you. If he does, you know what's expected. A life of turmoil, torment. Nothing's going to go your way. Nothing. And you're going to be crying out, why? Why, God? You went over there. You let your guard down. You took your eye off of God. Don't do it. And we do these things because guess what? All of this that you know, that we know today through God's word, all of these things that we know, we are anointed sheep of God. We have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. But we also have free will, right? So whose choice is it to activate the power of the Holy Spirit? Whose choice is it? Wow, I'm glad you said that. So what are we going to be? What are we going to be? Are we going to be useful sheep? Are you going to be useful sheep or useless sheep? Are we going to be useless sheep or useless sheep? The decision is yours because we have free will. We have free will. And now that we know who we are, we know the power that we have, now we can understand why our cup runs over. Because we are blessed children of God. Because Jesus Christ has anointed us to have all we need through him. All we need through him. Godly contentment. Godly contentment. And I got a story about this right quick. Godly contentment. About a year and a half, I did not really know what godly contentment really was at all. I'd heard it, but I skipped over it, as some things I do are just selfish and stupid. But godly contentment, about a year and a half ago, me and my wife, we was, I'm going to say my wife, Tammy. She was, you know how women is, wanting to do all kind of stuff. She wanted another house, bigger car, bigger everything. You know how women is. Hey. I mean, every night, Zillow pitches. I'm in the other room. Zillow. But I wasn't in that place. And I didn't understand what was going on. I was not in that place. And she would ask me about it, and I would just say, And at work, people would come to me, you're going to be supervisor, you want supervisor. And I was just, I wasn't in that place. God didn't have me in that place, but I didn't know that was his works. I didn't know that. And I just felt like I was being satisfied with life. And as people began to talk, I began to question myself. Why am I interested in all these things no more? Why I don't want to be up there, you know? And so I came to Bible study one Wednesday, 6 o'clock, Bible study, men's and women here at Capital City Church. Came to Bible study, myself, Pastor Ned, Pastor Garland, and Dr. Jack Lehman, who's not here, and we always pray for Dr. Jack Lehman, the candy man, the snack man at the door. So we wish for him a speedy recovery. And we was in Bible study, and I was telling them the story about what was going on and how I was feeling, because I really didn't understand it. And Jack told me, he said, man, that's godly contentment. And he said, wow. I said, yeah. He said, that's godly contentment, man. And he took me to this verse right here, 1 Timothy 6:6-7. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. And I was so blessed by that because I thought I was losing life, losing the things that I needed for life, but actually I was gaining. I was gaining. I was not wanting a lot of these things of the world. And it was through God. It wasn't myself. It was through God. So I thanked him for that. 1 Timothy 6:8-9 reads, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Take that to God. God says you have all you need, right? If you have those things, right? Be content. Take that to God and tell him what you need, that you need more. Pray to him. God, I need more. So what, after knowing this, what will be your prayer? After knowing what he said, what would be your prayer? That's going to change. That would change a lot. Change a lot for me about that need factor. God, I need this. I need a new house. I need a bigger house, God. You already got one house. Need a bigger car, God. You already got a car. God can take it from us just like that. Just like that. So be thankful for what you have. Use God's words and his wisdom that he placed in you to live this life, to not be satisfied. But if you have, make sure someone else has too. Make sure someone else has too. Because he, like, just like the 10%, he blessed us with the 10% and told us to share it. He given us enough so that we can share the 10%, give it back to him. So whatever your bills or whatever adds up to, you will have 10% left to give to him. Understand that. Do it. Do it. If you don't, that's disobedience. That's him. And just watch his blessings. He said he will open up heaven for you with blessings. Do it. That's his word. That's his word. And I want to close the day on scripture from Paul. And this scripture is something that motivates me. It motivates me. It motivates me. It motivates me to reach that mark. Because this whole life, we're going to be going, heading towards that mark. Towards that mark. We might fall off track, but we got to get back on track towards that mark. Towards the mark. Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Jesus Christ took hold of me. We must press on. We can never get enough of the Bible, never get enough of his word. We can never get enough spiritual wisdom. We continue to grow spiritually every day. As long as we're living, we're going to continue to grow spiritually. I don't care how old you are. Philippians 3:13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Today is a new day. Yesterday is gone. Yesterday is gone. He's blessed us. Yesterday we may have failed him, and he blessed us to see another day so we can change that. Not just bless you to see another day so you can be the same old person. How many chances do you think that he's going to give us? Taking advantage of that grace and that mercy. How many chances? This is God we're talking about. This is Almighty God, the creator of us. He can do this. And we're gone. We're gone. And we are gone. Don't worry about who you used to be. You are a new creation in Christ. Walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in it. Philippians 3:14. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. We pressing, right? Are we pressing? Are we pressing? Because we are his anointed sheep. We press on to win that prize. We are the sheep of God. We are his sheep. But one thing I want you to remember and remind you of all of this is possible because he said so and he put his spirit in us. But if we don't, renew our minds. If we don't renew our minds, none of this will happen. You could be the anointed sheep, but you have to renew your mind. If you do not renew your mind, you have no power. Satan will take control of you. The same way you walked in that door, the same way you'll walk out. You'll become of the world. You might don't think it, but you will be, because your mind is still the same. I had to renew my mind being in Christ. All things old, he said, renew your mind. Only way it happens, change your minds. Change your mind thinking. Change the way you think. Think the way God thinks. Read his word. Let that word come over you. Take hold of you. Renew your mind. If you don't renew your mind, you find yourself in a lot of trouble in the same situations. In the same situations. We are his anointed sheep, and believe that. Thank you very, very much.
What a wonderful message.